In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Law and Order UK, commuter train, Streatham, October 16th. Max Dale and his mother Marnie sit near a young man in a suit.
Has Daddy's plane landed yet?
Not yet.
Is he staying for long?
For a bit.
I wish he could stay forever.
Me too, sweetie. Me too.
Max, okay.
I'm so sorry. Be careful with that. Pick it up. I'm sorry.
Passengers are hurled through glass panels as the train crashes. Marnie falls to the floor on her back, her face bloodied. Daylight, emergency crews cut into the train wreckage. DS Sam Casey hurries along the side of the wrecked train beside a PC in a luminous jacket while injured passengers are helped away. Sam boards the train as Marnie is zipped into a body bag. Paramedics carry the body bag out past Sam, who stands aside. He walks down the carriage, shaking his head. Sam turns to walk back down the aisle between the buckled seats.
Hello?
Boys! Boys! Over here!
Okay.
Sam hurls seats aside to find Max below.
Hello, mate. You keep looking at me, yeah? Just keep looking at me. I need a paramedic now. Can you tell me your name?
Max.
Max. Max, I'm Sam. Right? Keep your eyes open.
No.
Keep your eyes open. Doctor's on his way, okay?
Not my mummy.
I know, mate. I know. I promise you, as soon as I can, I'm going to go and find your mum. Just keep looking at me, all right, mate? Max.
Max's eyes close.
I need a paramedic now! Now!
Sam pulls Max into the aisle for CPR.
Maxie, come on, mate. Come on, mate. Come on. Come on, mate. Come on.
Two medics pull Sam aside and take over.
I got it.
Ronnie walks up behind Sam as the medics feel for Max's pulse.
It is carnage out there. We've got hundreds injured, 12 dead.
Hey, systolic.
It's 13 dead.
An aerial view over central London at dawn. Caption, Law. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced DS Ronnie Brooks, Paul Nichols as ruggedly handsome DS Sam Casey, Patterson Joseph as athletic DI Wes Layton. Order, Dominic Rowan as suave, dark-haired SCP Jake Thorne, Georgia Taylor as pretty blonde Kate Barker, and Peter Davison as middle-aged Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, Tracks. Ronnie is beside a wrecked car. He paces around the emergency crew, cutting at the wreckage of the car the train has smashed into. He shakes hands with Wes, who approaches grinning.
Hello, hello, hello. Look at you, Detective Inspector Layton. Heard you was covering for the Gov. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Ron?
I'm very well. Shouldn't you be chasing poachers around Dartmoor?
MIT couldn't do without me.
Right.
What have we got, sir?
All right, well, this is a county trains commuter. It's the 5:15 from Portsmouth Harbour. Gets into Waterloo about 7. Absolutely packed to the rafters.
I take it that driver's a goner.
Strangely enough, wasn't even inside.
Yeah?
Yeah. Response ran the plates, PNC them, definitely a ringer. So, and it has over 100 speeding tickets dating back 6 months.
How did he get the car on the tracks?
Well, whoever was driving it crashed through an access gate about half a mile back.
Tell me it's got CCTV on it.
Yeah, well, rail company will be sending it over as soon as they collate it themselves.
All right. Well, you know the drill, Ron. I need all the passengers ID'd and interviewed. And,
already up, Manning.
Your partner gone Wibble, has he? He looks a bit...
There was a young boy on the train. Where's he tried to save him? Couldn't...
All right, well, make sure he attends debrief and get some counselling.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, tighten down the red line after shift.
Oh,
hang on, hang on. Double whiskey chaser, no ice. And a packet of dry roasted, how's that for a memory? A lot to catch up on, sir.
Yeah. More than you know, Wes.
The train driver.
It was just on the tracks.
No signals, no warning?
Nothing. I slammed on the brakes the second I saw it, but it was too late. I must have pushed it half a mile at least. I was never going to see my kids again.
Well, you will, Mr. King. Don't worry. We'll get you warm, get yourself a cup of tea. Going to need a statement from you when you're up to it, OK? Dave, do me a favour. Take care of Mr. King for me. All
cheers.
Right? Thank you. Right, false plates. Restricted area. This is no accident, is it?
You'd have to know about the gate and timetable.
Yeah, so what are you saying? Disgruntled employee or what?
What do you mean there's other jobs that suck?
Yeah. Right, Pete, what do you got?
Not much, I'm afraid. But when we get this back to base, we can cut it open, find the VIN and see if he's left anything else inside.
There's 13 dead bodies in that tent and you've got nothing.
CCTV back at Bow Street HQ with Angela.
Just drove right through them.
Do we know who was minding the shop?
Yeah, Hilton Security. They're the ones with a contract with County Trains. Uniform were onto it and they've got a list of all their employees.
When he crashes through that gate, why doesn't it trigger the alarm?
Well, it did, but by the time they radioed the train, it was just too late.
Why?
I mean, why the slow response?
Well, it happened bang on shift change at Hailton, 6:30.
But he crashed the gate at 6:30 and collision with the train at 6:36.
Yeah, he's cutting it fine, so how do you know when to time it?
Maybe you were right before. This could be an employee of the rail company or the security firm.
Some train spotter, or maybe just did a bit of research beforehand.
Thing is, you see, you can't tell who's in that truck from this, can you?
That's because the security cameras are set up to catch trespassers climbing over the fence, not cars smashing straight through it.
OK, now, what time was the site secured?
6:55.
Oh, well, he had plenty of time to get on his toes then, didn't he?
We've got CCTV footage checking through it now, see if he's escaped any further down the line.
Accident processing site.
We processed around 100, another 120 to go.
What about the ones that went to hospital?
I got officers talking to them too.
So no one saw anything suspicious?
No one on the train saw anything. One minute they're cruising along like every other morning, the next...
Well, look, anything comes up, you just call us straight away, won't you? Excuse me. Hello, Brooks?
We're up to 15 dead now. 16, if you count unborn babies.
Right. Well, that's great. Thanks, Pete. Socco, I found the VIN. Car belonged to Michael Jenis.
Jenis? Why's that name ring a bell?
Jenis put his wife in a coma. Permanent brain damage. He claimed self-defense. Hung jury. Three of them thought it reasonable he defend himself against a 5'2" woman.
Yeah, and aren't CPS retrying the case?
Yeah, thanks to Alicia Phillips. She actually pushed for the retrial. She did an interview about the CPS having zero tolerance in cases of domestic violence and cited the retrial as an example.
Guess which train she takes every morning?
She wasn't on the train.
Thankfully, no. She's been promoted. She's now senior prosecutor, CPS Northwest, but Jenis wouldn't know that.
Hmm. What else do we know about him?
Financial advisor, self-employed. He beats the shit out of his previous wife, only she gets scared, withdraws a statement. She emigrated to get away from him.
What a catch. Get a warrant, spin his address.
Handsome, muscular Michael Jenis's Croydon home is searched.
If I knew what you were looking for, darling, maybe I could help you.
Well, you can start by sitting down till we're ready to take you in, please.
No, I'm not going to sit down. Why don't you just tell me what this is about?
It's about the 15 people who died when your car caused a train crash this morning.
What are you talking about? My car is outside, parked in its space where I normally...
He looks out of the window.
You have got to be kidding me. Well, obviously, it's been nicked.
Obviously.
Serge.
A uniformed PC brings Ronnie a train timetable.
Same train line. Planning a trip?
What?
Michael Jenis, I'm arresting you on the suspicion of 15 counts of murder.
Doctor.
You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defense if you do not mention one question, something which you later rely on in court.
I had a meeting booked in with a client down in Portsmouth. I was going to take the train.
Okay. Can you provide us with the client's details?
It was months ago. He cancelled. I must have just held on to the timetable. Look, this has nothing to do with me. My car was stolen.
But you didn't report it stolen.
Well, I only found out this morning when you took my front door off, which you better be paying for, by the way.
And when was the last time you saw your vehicle?
Last night, when I drove home, I parked it and I went inside.
How long have you been driving on false plates, Mr. Guinness?
All right, yes, I hold my hands up. I am a speed freak. Blame it on Jeremy Clarkson.
Well, 103 speeding tickets have just caught up with you.
Right. You don't like playing by the rules, do you? Exceeding speeding limits and beating up women.
I think you'll find the jury found me innocent.
They couldn't decide, which is a bit different. But that was all about to change, wasn't it?
I very much doubt it.
Well, a new trial date set for next month must have made you angry. Do you know what I think you did?
Oh, God, I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
I think you drove your car onto those tracks and you watched that train hit it, killing 15 people.
What? Wow. What, is he on something? Because that's...
You wanted Alicia Phillips dead.
Janice frowns at Sam.
Alicia Phillips died in the crash? Right, well, every cloud, eh?
No, she didn't. Shall I tell you who did?
Oh, here we go. Oh, boy.
David Shelby died. 23.
Mm-hmm.
Newlywed. Catherine Parkfield, 38, mum of three. Pregnant with a fourth. I mean, her unborn baby doesn't count in the death toll list, sadly. And Max Dale. He was 7 years old. He was on his way to meet his father. Just back from a tour in Afghanistan. You know, Gavin Dale will never see his son. For his wife again, because...
Why?
Because you killed
him! What's the matter with you? You're supposed to be a police officer!
Get out now! Get out!
Can that be working? I'll get you a couple of...
Yes, Casey, get in here. What the hell was that?
That bastard killed 15 people. He could not give a toss.
Don't ever behave like that in an interview again. Do you understand?
Ronnie joins Wes and Sam.
Maybe D.I. Chandler let you play bad cop, but I will not have officers undermining prosecutions with violence. You count yourself lucky he didn't want to brief in that interview, otherwise you'd be suspended. Get to your desk. Now.
Angela joins Wes as Ronnie follows them down the hall.
Gov?
Yeah?
Suppose got two sets of dabs off the steering wheel. One belonged to Janice, but the other matched somebody else, not on the system.
Maybe you lent the car to a mate?
Yeah, well, listen, we better identify those prints, otherwise Genesis' brief will only bring it up in court and say someone else did it.
Well, why don't we just ask him the question? Who was driving the car?
Well, there's another thing, Gov. It can't have been Genesis, unless he's got some sort of invisibility cloak. We've checked all of the CCTV now. Nobody went in or out of that crash site from the time the crash happened to the time we sealed off the site.
Right, well, if no one's been seen going in and out of the site, then maybe the driver was still in it, hiding amongst the passengers.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk to Intel, see if they finished the background checks.
OK. Gov?
Yeah?
About Sam?
What about him?
Well...
Yeah, OK. I'm trusting you, Ron, but you keep a tight leash on him.
Sam, I know you are hurting, and I know you've got that kid's face right here. But if you can't hold it together...
Ronnie, look, I'm still here.
I was only in the job 4 weeks. They put me on response. I was the first one on the scene, car crash, OK? Three kids, all gone. I couldn't sleep for 3 months, mate.
That was an accident. This was deliberate.
You have got a boy of your own to think about now and a job you need to hang on to, OK? And let me tell you, this is going to get a whole lot worse. You've got the inquest, you've got the trial, you've got all those grieving families wanting answers. So, let's just get it right for them, eh? Eh?
Yeah.
Come on, come on.
Sam follows Ronnie into the intel department.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, Ronnie.
Anyone jump out at you?
Apart from all the fake injuries, hoping for a nice insurance settlement with County Trains, we've got seven between the ages of 16 and 65 with no ticket or who can't remember where they boarded.
Are you PNC'd them?
No criminal records.
All right. Thanks, love.
Thanks.
So what do you reckon? Our man hung around to admire his handiwork and then just got stuck when we closed the scene.
Yeah. Let's start with this one. He lied about where he got on.
a street cleaner on the Strand.
You told the police you boarded the train at Wimbledon.
It was Surbiton. I stayed at a mate's house.
Why would you lie about that, sir?
I was confused. I had the bang to the head, didn't I?
But you couldn't have been that confused. I mean, you're still at work, aren't you?
I don't work, I don't get paid.
Well, you also showed the police an expired passport. We're going to need to see a valid ID.
That's all I got.
What about a driver's license?
I don't drive.
What? Not at all.
I barely make enough money to pay my mum housekeeping. How am I supposed to afford driving lessons?
Sam's on his phone as he follows Ronnie to Amanda Tyler's Greenwich home.
Kath, I am not asking to change my contact. I am not saying that. All I'm asking is to... What? You get them all week. You get them all week and I get...
She not happy?
No, most weekends she dumps in with her mum. She's off partying. Ron, how's it going to work if I get in for a weekend?
Well, you had your counselling session, yeah?
I'll get my therapy down the pub later, don't you worry about that.
Good. Right then, here we are, number 131. No valid train ticket. This is Finn Tyler, 36, unemployed. Got cuts and bruises treated at the scene and used his driver's licence as ID.
Oh, well, at least we know this one can drive.
They approach the terraced house. Ronnie shows his ID to the middle-aged nurse who answers the door.
Hello there. Hi. Detective Sergeant Brooks, Detective Sergeant Casey. I'd like a word with Finn Tyler, please.
What's he done now?
A little girl's inside.
Is he hurt?
Not badly. He doesn't live here, then?
We separated a month ago.
Can you tell us where he is?
He lives in a bedsit around the corner. I'll get you the address.
Amanda goes. Sam smiles at the girl.
Hello. I like your drawings.
It's a triceratops. It means three-horned face.
Really? You're very clever, aren't you?
I'm going to be a paleontologist when I grow up.
He looks a bit mean to me.
He's going to keep me and Mummy safe in case Daddy goes funny again.
Ellie looks up from her bright dinosaur picture. Ronnie and Sam swap looks. They walk up communal stairs to the door of a dingy bedsit.
Police!
Just a minute.
Ronnie takes out his warrant as a tubby, dark-haired man answers.
Finn Tyler? Yes, Brooks? Yes, Casey? The driver's licence you showed the officer at the scene had your wife's address on it.
Separation's only temporary, so I'll get myself back on my feet.
Still, might be best to let the DVLA know your new details, yeah? We need to see that licence.
Ronnie nods for Sam to move across the flat as Finn turns away. Ronnie moves closer to Finn around the sofa, while Sam finds a crumpled photo of Ellie smiling as a bridesmaid.
It's my little girl, Ellie. Bridesmaid at my brother's wedding.
Yeah? Well, that must be tough, you know, being away from her.
Finn nods, then reaches to take his driver's license from Ronnie's grasp. Ronnie keeps hold, seeing a patch of blood on the outstretched arm of Finn's hoodie.
Your arm's bleeding. Did you get that in the crash?
Iron glass.
Right. Well, have you got any spare dressings? Oh, you don't just do CPR, you know. I reckon I can bandage a cut. Well, take a seat. I'll have a look at it for you.
Finn warily slumps onto the sofa, while Ronnie takes a roll of bandages from a shelf above a basin in the corner of the bedsit, then sits on a chair facing Finn.
Well, pop your top off.
Finn gingerly slides his arm from the sleeve of his hooded top. Ronnie pulls on a purple disposable medical glove and peels back the congealed bandage to reveal a deep lesion on Finn's forearm.
Hmm.
Sam looks away, while Ronnie shakes his head at the deep gash.
This isn't from flying glass, is it, Finn?
It is. It's too clean, Finn. It's too clean. That was done by a blade.
How long have you been cutting yourself? How long?
Finn lowers his dewy gaze.
Started when I was a kid. But I stopped when I met Amanda.
She made everything right.
When little Ellie came into our lives, I thought I was healed.
And why did it start again?
I lost them, it all went dark. But it stops when I cut. For a while, it all stops.
Well, you know what, Finn? I don't think you got this cut in the crash at all. I think this was done to make it look like you was hurt in the crash, eh?
Finn's brows knit. He purses his lips.
Am I right?
Finn trembles as he nods his head with a grimace.
Something make it go dark again?
I never meant to kill anyone!
Ronnie looks round at Sam standing beside him as tears stream down Finn's face.
But you did, Finn, didn't you? You killed 15 people.
I meant to kill one, it was supposed to be me!
Sam takes out his handcuffs.
We were convinced Janice was guilty. It was his car, the motive, but Finn Tyler's DNA is all over that vehicle, and his confession is watertight, as you see.
Do you really think Tyler intended to kill himself?
Why? Does it make a difference?
It might influence how we charge him.
Well, you got his DNA in the vehicle, his fingerprints are on the steering wheel, and there's a signed, taped confession.
Without a solicitor present.
He didn't want one.
And he was seen by a mental health professional.
Yeah, the FME. And he was confident. He was confident Tyler was fit for interview.
I'd like to see it.
It's by the book, Jake. I sincerely hope you're going to charge him with 15 counts of murder and 120 counts of attempted murder, because I was at that scene and I saw what he did to those people.
Jake nods. Friday, October 19th, he walks through Westminster with Henry.
It was unequivocal intent by Finn Tyler. He drove his car onto those tracks. He must have known the train would crash.
If he was thinking logically, I agree. But if he was suicidal, logic goes out the window.
Well, he seemed to make a reappearance when he decided to escape the vehicle and save his own life. Screw everyone else's.
We charge murder, 15 counts. Drop the attempted murder charges if you have to. He's confessed, so it saves us the cost of a trial. Who's repping him?
Kate Barker. Well, you know her.
Remember Joseph Holland, Manchester, big-time crack dealer. CPS Northwest had him banked to rights, and he coughs up for Kate Barker as counsel.
Well, she's the one who got Holland off.
She took tenancy at a set in London about 3 months ago. Attractive barrister, new on the scene, and you don't know about it. You're losing your touch, Jake.
Nah, she's doing this on legal aid.
Don't let that fool you.
Kate Barker in the CPS office.
Diminished responsibility. My client has a history of depression with emotional unstable personality traits.
I was hoping you'd surprise me. Jake, by the way.
Finn Tyler grew up in care. Shocking childhood, prolific self-harmer. Perfect dad for 4 years, and then he loses his job and his wife dumps him. Won't let him see his kid. He is going to break the jury's hearts.
Jury? He confessed?
Yeah, about that. It seems the police conveniently forgot to call in an appropriate adult.
He didn't need one. The forensic medical examiner assessed him fit for interview.
Oh, with his slashed wrist still gushing blood. Really?
I thought we were here to discuss the plea.
Yeah, we are, but if we can't agree, this will go before a jury.
And what does he want me to agree to exactly?
Manslaughter, diminished responsibility. The judge will see concurrent sentences are the best option if she doesn't make a hospital order.
A hospital order? Tyler deserves prison for life. You can't expect us to treat this as though he killed one person instead of 15.
But that was his intent, to kill one person, himself.
Shame he didn't have the balls to stay in the car then.
Kate, wearing UGG boots, puts her feet up.
You can make me a counter. I do love a good barter.
Oh, please, make yourself at home. We're charging murder, 15 counts. The only bargain you're getting off me is the 120 dropped attempted murder charges. I'd say you got a good deal.
No, not good enough. The incarceration of mentally disordered offenders is a bit of a passion project of mine. This will make a great case study.
Ah, now I get the legal aid.
Oh, because all defence barristers are interested in is the page count, right? Maybe I'm different.
Do you think his responsibility was diminished?
There's a giant chasm between suicidal thoughts and crashing a commuter train because your wife left you. That's not mad. It's selfish.
Sounds like Kate Barker's the only one making this a passion project.
I find suicide hard enough to understand. But taking other people with you, that's unforgivable.
Get the police to talk to Tyler's wife. Maybe she can fill in that chasm.
When he lost his job, he told me he'd been given an admin role. They wanted people to work from home. He said he volunteered so he could spend more time with Ellie.
And how did he explain his vanishing wages?
Well, he didn't. Put everything on the credit cards, mortgage, utilities, the lot.
And you found out?
Ellie's HLP. Well, what they used to call gifted. She won a part scholarship to a private school. And because I were doing my nursing training, I managed to get a bursary to cover the rest of her school fees. We were away half term at a friend's cottage in Yorkshire. Do you want sugar?
No, thanks.
Headmaster rang, said that Ellie's fees were a term and a half late. Finn had maxed out credit cards and spent a bursary too.
And so what, you gave Finn his marching orders?
I told him I wanted him out. He were crying, begging me not to leave him. I mean, I could forgive him the debt. What, the lies even, but... Well, not Ellie's school fees. Yeah. And she's been given a chance neither of us ever had. I slept in with Ellie that night. And the next morning, when we tried to leave the cottage, he wouldn't let us.
Well, he got violent.
He locked the door, he barricaded it. It was a kitchen knife. Ellie was terrified. It took me 3 hours to talk him down, get him to let us go. Honestly, thought he was going to kill us all.
Jake and Dr. Toby Marsh watch a recording of Finn's interview.
Do you know why I'm here today? To see if I'm mental. Your solicitor wants to say you're not guilty of murder because you're mentally ill. Do you think you're ill? I don't know. All I know is I wanted out. Couldn't even get that right. I screw everything up. My marriage. My daughter. Can't even have my own life without making a mess of it.
Is he psychotic?
He's full of shame and rage, but psychotic, no. He's bitter, resentful.
Towards his wife?
I think he wanted to get back at her. I killed myself and 15 others, and it's all your fault. That's got to be hard to live with.
But did he ever intend to go through with it?
If he did, he knew perfectly well he was going to take a lot of other people with him. And that doesn't suggest a mental health disorder sufficient to demonstrate an abnormality of the mind.
Jake and Kate with Justice O'Neill.
I've read both the reports, and while it's clear that Mr. Tyler was suffering depression and insecure attachments from his time in care, I'm still not convinced that he's suffering an abnormality of the mind.
My lady, the defendant was quite evidently suicidal following the breakdown of his marriage. If this isn't an abnormality of the mind, then what is?
My lady, relationships break up. People feel a little low about it. They don't all try and derail commuter trains.
A little low? I can tell you've never had a relationship worth hanging on to.
I'm inclined to agree with the Crown, Miss Barker. If your client wants to plead diminished responsibility, so be it. But it's up to the jury to decide whether or not he was suffering an abnormality of the mind at the time the offence was committed.
Crown versus Tyler, trial day one. Sam.
He remained at the scene. He mingled with the real passengers. He used a penknife to inflict superficial wounds to his hands and arms. He was treated by paramedics and then released.
How would you, as a police officer, interpret these actions?
He was trying to blend in. Get away.
like any other hit and runner.
Sam looks across at Finn in the dock with a sneer. Jake nods to Justice O'Neill as he sits. Kate rises in her black robes and periwig.
I understand you arrived at the scene about 20 minutes after the crash.
Yes, I did.
Am I right? You attempted to give CPR to a young child, but sadly were unable to save him.
Yes, a 7-year-old boy,
Max Dale.
I did everything I could, but he died.
That must have been incredibly challenging for you. Traumatic.
That's my job.
Even so, you're a father. I'm sure having a child your son's age die in your arms must have affected you greatly.
Yes, I suppose so.
You must have felt very angry with whoever was responsible.
Of course I felt angry. But I remained professional.
You arrested Mr. Tyler.
Yes, I did.
Interrogated him.
I interviewed him.
He confessed to an officer who had held his dying 7-year-old victim in his arms.
He admitted his guilt at his arrest. And once again, during an interview, no one put any pressure on him.
Did you make any special arrangements for Mr. Tyler?
Special arrangements?
Were any special precautions taken while he was in custody?
No.
Are you quite sure about that?
In the gallery, Ronnie narrows his eyes. Sam's eyes close, then roll a look aside.
He was on suicide watch.
Kate smirks as she shifts her eyes from Sam to the judge.
Nothing more, m'lady.
Jake and Henry at a coffee stall on the street.
Kate Barker scored a hat-trick off Sam Casey. If Tyler was on suicide watch, he must be mentally ill. That's how the jury will see it.
Or feeling suicidal could be seen as remorse for his actions. That's evidence of his sanity.
How he felt after the event is irrelevant. All the defence has to prove is his state of mind at the time of the offence.
All Kate Barker's interested in is using this case as a soapbox to highlight the cuts in mental health provisions. How too many mentally ill people end up being criminalised by the state.
That could resonate with the jury. Everyone's angry about NHS cuts. I have to dash.
This case isn't about cuts. I won't let it distract them.
Jake's determined look wilts into a scowl as he spots Henry stroll into a restaurant and shake hands with Kate. They sit at a table smiling.
Dr. Holsworth, the antidepressants you prescribed have a number of side effects.
Well, all medication has side effects.
Perhaps you could tell us the ones caused by this particular medication.
Nausea, decreased appetite, raised cholesterol, sexual problems.
Insomnia, nightmares, agitation, confusion, hallucinations, suicidal thoughts.
Well, in some cases, yes.
But Finn Tyler was also a prolific self-harmer.
I had no idea he was self-harming. All I saw was a man feeling down over a marriage breakup. Nothing more.
What a shame you didn't see a man in severe crisis begging you for help. Because then 15 lives might have been saved.
My lady, did I miss the question there?
The jury will disregard the last comment made by Miss Barker.
Kate sits. Jake rises behind his lectern.
Dr. Holdsworth, you were the last medical professional to see the defendant before the train crash. You saw him a month before when you prescribed the antidepressants.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he appear as though he was suffering with a mental health disorder?
He was behaving like a spoiled child. Well, he didn't get what he wanted. He had a tantrum and stormed out.
What made him so angry?
I suggested he try the antidepressants and use some relaxation techniques, but he wanted sleeping pills. I'm not in the habit of dishing them out without very good reason.
Not because of budget cuts?
No, because I don't want patients becoming needlessly reliant on addictive medication, especially when they have a history of addiction.
Mr. Tyler has a history of drug addiction.
Alcohol abuse. He was treated in rehab for alcoholism in 2004 and again earlier this year.
Finn winces. Ronnie outside.
Amanda! One sec. Did you know Finn was an alcoholic when you first met him?
Yeah, but I really believed he'd stay sober for me and Ellie.
All right, what made him start drinking again?
Oh, he had a run-in at work with his brother Daniel. Just triggered something in him. He was so jealous of his brother's success.
What sort of business was it?
Security. CCTV monitoring mainly. Daniel's got contracts up and down the country.
Ronnie stops in his tracks, eyebrows raised.
What was the name of the company?
Hailton Security.
Ronnie nods ruefully. Ronnie and Jake at the CPS offices.
Daniel Hailton was spoken to after the crash about security and ended disgruntled employees. We even asked him for a list of anyone that had been let go in the past year.
He never mentioned his brother?
No, and because Tyler was unemployed, there was no reason for us to ask about his last employer. Hailton was paying him cash in hand, so Tyler never made it onto any books. And because of the different surnames, well, we just didn't connect any dots.
Crown versus Tyler, trial day 5.
Mr. Hailton, you gave your brother a job at your firm, Hailton Security.
I felt sorry for him. He just lost his job. And a man who was doing nursing qualifications.
And I believe you fired him because he was unreliable.
That's right. He was drinking. I paid for rehab, but he was just as bad when he got out.
You and your brother grew up in care.
We had a rough start. But you got to put the past behind you, haven't you?
Do you think this was a genuine suicide attempt?
Square-jawed Daniel Hayton glances across at Finn brooding in the dock.
No. I think he wanted to get back at me.
How would causing the train crash get back at you?
My company. We had the contract with the county trains. It was my firm that watched the gate that he broke through.
So Finn knew about the shift change. He knew the best time to hit that gate.
It was his job to watch it.
Jake follows Kate down the marble steps of the Old Bailey.
Looking a lot more like revenge than diminished responsibility to me.
Well, you can't be mentally ill and vengeful. What about school shootings? Bullied, demoralised teenagers, depressed, seeking revenge.
Any juror with half a brain cell will see Finn Tyler for exactly what he is. An angry, vengeful man who needlessly murdered 15 people to get back at his brother.
Kate walks away through the foyer.
Come on, Miss Barker. No last word.
She turns with a smirk.
When the court's heard from our psychiatrist, I'm calling Finn Tyler. I'll leave the last word to him.
I saw you with Henry.
Were you jealous? Gotta get this. Sorry. Hello, Kate Barker.
Crown versus Tyler, trial day 7.
I never had it, Dad. Mum was an alcoholic. We was in and out of care homes from as early as I can remember. I started drinking when I was 12, self-harming when I was 13.
And you carried on as an adult?
It was how I coped.
Your brother's a successful businessman. He told the court he'd moved on from his damaged past.
He was fostered by a decent family, wasn't he? They adopted him, sent him to a good school. He was never pushed from pillar to post like me.
Why did your marriage break down?
Daniel sacked me. I was so scared of losing Amanda, I never told her. When she found out I'd run up so much debt, she freaked, kicked me out. I tried to get myself together again, but she wouldn't let me see my little girl. Without her, there wasn't a point.
So you took that car and drove onto the tracks. Tell me, Finn, did you honestly intend to kill yourself?
Yes.
Didn't you realise other people could be hurt?
I thought the train would wipe out the car and keep going, like a tube train when someone jumps in front of it.
But you got out of the car. Why did you do that?
I saw the train coming in. And I saw Ellie crying at my funeral, and I couldn't. I tried to hotwire the car again, but it wouldn't spark. I swear to God, I never meant to hurt anyone. I'm so sorry.
The victims' families look away in the gallery as Finn turns his pleading face towards them. Kate shoots Jake a glance as she sits. Jake rises slowly and takes a swig from his glass of water.
If you really wanted to kill yourself, why didn't you throw yourself off a building?
I wanted to make sure I didn't survive, to be a burden on my family.
But you could have jumped in front of a tube, taken an overdose.
Well, that's why I tried to get them sleeping tablets, but that doctor never gave them to me.
What was the real reason you caused the train crash?
I told you already, I wanted to kill myself.
Wasn't it to get your wife's attention, get revenge on your brother to boot? I mean, she's been here for you every day, hasn't she?
Amanda weeps in the gallery.
Yep. You got her attention, and it only took 15 lives.
My family's everything
to me. You honestly expect this court to believe you thought no one else would be hurt?
I wasn't thinking straight.
And you didn't want to leave your little girl without a dad. What about all the fatherless or motherless children you created with your reckless lives?
I never meant...
Your daughter gets to see you. It might only be once a fortnight in a prison visits room, but there are 16 children who will never see their mummy or their daddy again because of you. Well, poor me. Poor Finn Tyler. You can watch Ellie grow up, make friends, pass exams, get a boyfriend, get married. Max Dale's father is here today. How do you think he feels? He will never see his wife and son again. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to help Ellie choose what subjects she takes at school, or what she wears on her wedding day. All Gavin Dale will choose is what kind of flowers to put in his son's grave.
This is a speech, m'lady.
Mr. Thorne, please.
You could have chosen a method of suicide that didn't endanger others. You could have saved all those children who lost parents from a lifetime of misery. That's not diminished responsibility. It's cowardice.
Finn quakes and hangs his head in the dock. He covers his eyes with his hand, then raises a look to the ceiling. In the gallery, Ronnie eyes Sam brooding beside him. Sam meets Jake in the hall.
Jake. He gets a hospital order. He'll be out in 6 months.
Or detained for the rest of his life.
He's not mentally ill. I mean, the doctor's in a secure unit. We'll spot it in a second. He'll be out the doors before we know it.
It's all if, Sam. The jury find him guilty of murder, then he's facing 15 life sentences. Have you been drinking?
Yes. I had a couple at lunchtime. So what?
Let's hope the jury's back Monday with good news.
Good news? There's no good news for Gavin Dale. I mean, that bastard wiped out his entire family.
Crown versus Tyler. The verdict.
Please answer either yes or no to my first question. Have the jury reached a verdict upon which you were all agreed?
Yes.
On count one, on the charge of the murder of Max Dale, how do you find the defendant, Finn Luke Tyler? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty. But guilty of manslaughter by reason of diminished responsibility.
On count two, on the charge of the murder of Marnie Dale, how do you find the defendant, Finn Luke Tyler, guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty. But guilty of manslaughter by reason of diminished responsibility.
Finn closes his eyes as the families hang their heads. Justice O'Neill.
Finn Luke Tyler. You have been found guilty on 15 counts of manslaughter by reason of diminished responsibility. I am therefore sentencing you to a hospital order with a Section 41 restriction. You will not be released without leave of the Secretary of State.
Sam walks out in disgust, followed by Mr. Dale and Amanda. Disrobed, Jake and Kate walk from court into the lobby.
He'll get treatment in hospital.
He can apply for release in 6 months. He deserved 15 life sentences.
Maybe he did.
You agree he was criminally responsible?
Well, he did a terrible thing, but it could have been averted. Millions spent on prisons while mental health takes the brunt of the cuts.
I don't make social policy.
No, you just clean up after those that do.
Jake locks a glare on Kate as Henry strolls over to join them.
Oh, it's been fun.
Has she told you the good news, then?
I didn't think it was fair during the trial, in case it distracted you.
Apart from your appalling taste in footwear, there's very little you could do to distract me, Miss Barker.
Kate. You should definitely start calling me Kate.
Especially as you'll be sharing an office. Kate will be joining us for Monday, Alicia's replacement. Who's for a celebratory drink?
Yeah. Look, I'll see you down there. I just need a quick word with my client.
Henry smiles as Kate goes, then pats Jake consolingly on the arm. Crown Court holding cells. Ronnie walks with Kate along the corridor to a barred gate.
If you could just get your client to sign that for us, then nominate a family member, we can get his property too. That would be great.
Let's see. Estranged wife or loving brother? Here to see Finn Tyler. If you just want to hang on a tick, I'll give it straight back.
Tyler's in number eight.
Okay. Sam appears from the cells as the gate is unlocked. Sam walks out past Kate as a guard lets her in.
What are you doing here? Sam! Sam, what are you doing down here? Sam?
Kate runs from the cell as guards dash in.
He's dead! Tyler's dead!
Shoes dangle in the viewing panel of the cell door. A guard unlocks the cell and runs in. In the corridor, Ronnie turns his gaze on Sam. Audio description by Deluxe, to be continued. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental.